Everybody, welcome back into Mining Stock Daily. I told you we were going to have a big round of corporate updates today. We now connect with Chad Peters, CEO of Ridgeline Minerals. They trade on the TSX Venture with RDG. They also have an OTC QB ticker with RDGMF. Ridgeline is a sponsor of the podcast, and I'm also a shareholder. And so to see this morning's news release with drill results out of the Salina project got me pretty excited. Good grades here. 123.2 grams per ton silver over 44.2 meters was the highlight of this morning's news release. Chad, this is a really exciting because you and I had talked over the last couple of months really about this kind of like potential hidden gem of a silver deposit what you have in Salina. Maybe the market hasn't recognized it, but with grades like this and wide intervals like this, I mean, you would think that the market's going to start appreciating this a little bit more.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. I mean, we're hoping that folks can really start seeing Salina for what it is, which is a pretty exciting silver play. And in 2020, we defined that, okay, we have something that outcrops at surface and it extends down dip to the west for over a kilometer. What we drilled here with these holes and returned was infill drilling at the deepest portion of the known system to the west. It was centered around some high-grade intercepts we had in 2020, and we returned even greater intercepts with this program. So what kind of gets us excited is not only are we seeing these wide, 44-meter intercepts of really good silver grades, but we're also seeing an increase in lead and zinc, which was kind of unexpected, but to be honest, not surprising considering there's a known porphyry copper system only a kilometer west of the property boundary at Salina. So we think we're starting to get into a metal zonation pattern that is starting to tie into that porphyry copper system. And so we're seeing that silver lead zinc component, which is typically kind of what you see as a halo of mineralization around known porphyry systems. So what's really cool is we're getting the wide intercepts, but we're also getting higher grade intercepts. You know, hole 24 hit 4.6 meters of 421 grams silver, 0.6 gold, 4% lead and 3.7% zinc. So, we continue to do our silver equivalents and our gold equivalents just using gold and silver for now. We want more intercepts to prove that there is a continuous base metal system here. But what we're seeing, if you were to look at that from a total metal content, that would be, that would be close to 13 grams per ton gold equivalent if you factor in all those metals. So I try to stay away from getting into that in too much detail, but what we're seeing is high grade, and there's lots of potential here. And as we drill to the west, there may be potential to hit even wider and higher grade intercepts of silver, lead, and zinc mineralization. So pretty exciting.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a good problem to have as this project continues to kind of unfold through your exploration work and evolve to see what kind of metal factors are kind of you're getting in return through the drilling. I mean, you kind of have to stick to your guns here because you can't always go and change how you calculate the metal.
Yeah, we can't, from drill hole to drill hole, we can't say, hey, this week we're a silver play and next week we're a zinc play. But certainly, you're right. Like we're starting to see some pretty exciting optionality here with multiple metals coming into play, and there's potential for open pit silver and potentially, we might have potential for an underground scenario on these narrower high grade intervals as we continue drilling west. So it's pretty exciting.
Who owns the claims on that porphyry to the west?
Well, it's actually its underlying owners is just a prospector in Nevada. Freeport used to own it. I might want to pick that ground up. So I'm not talking about who potentially owns it. I think it's a private group right now that has control of it.
I suppose we have to cut this interview short so you can head out the door here.
No worries. It's not like a big company that owns it right now. It previously had been owned by, it was drilled off by Newmont as it's a low grade copper porphyry system, and it's just too deep. It starts at about 1200 feet down, and that's too deep for an open pit and not quite high enough grade for an underground. So, Freeport owned it after that, then it was dropped, but there's significant potential to see, it kind of reminds me of Cove. At Cove, we had a porphyry copper skarn system. Then, a kilometer away from that, we got into the polymetallic zone, silver, lead, zinc, essentially a CRD. That became our 2201 zone discovery. And then, 2 kilometers away from that, you had the actual Cove deposit, which was more of a classic kind of Carlin type system. So We're seeing a similar zonation, metal zonation pattern between that copper porphyry and what we originally trenched on the side of the hill. It's kind of more like, you know, silver rich Carlin system. And then where we are in the middle right now is starting to show kind of that base metal component. So potential for multiple discoveries. The project's 35 square kilometers. And what's really neat is no one ever drilled out in the valley, right? Historically, everyone focused on the shallow silver grades and gold grades up at surface. So there could be kind of a hidden story here that we'd like to go after. So it's pretty cool.
With your experience that you previously had with what was then Premier Gold in the Cove project and what you're seeing now with Ridgeline, talk to me about the idea of, you know, kind of open pit surface type mining. But given these results, this almost seems, you mentioned that 200 meters depth, you're kind of getting to that point where it's, if it's going to get mined, you're almost looking at a potential shallow underground mine.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're, you know, where we're drilling, where the 24 and 25 were, that's certainly kind of what I would call the deepest possible extents of what you'd expect an open pit to reach down to. And that would be entirely dependent on grade, metallurgy, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. So, but what we're kind of seeing now is, you know, we have outcropping high-grade silver at surface at Selena. You know, there's potential for kind of a starter pit at surface, kind of the low-hanging fruit. And then these deeper high-grade zones, you could potentially have a ramp down to a very shallow underground scenario. So that's kind of how this project is evolving. It's still very early. So, I mean, you know, take it with a grain of salt until I show you a couple more drill results. But we like what we're seeing, and it's pretty exciting.
There has been some chatter about kind of the silver content and the oxide, you know, this oxidization. You know, you mentioned this morning in the news release you're undergoing some bottle roll metallurgical testing. But this is really, really important. This is really important for the project. Can you kind of describe to us, and I listened into a webinar you did, I believe, a few days ago or last week about this. But talk to us about typical recoveries of oxidized silver content and really what would a successful bottle roll test work look for you?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Like the metallurgy on a silver system can be the Achilles heel, right? So you might see somewhere in the range of anywhere from 50 to 65% heap leach silver recoveries, you know, on average for a typical Nevada silver play. I think Rochester's gotten theirs up to close to 80%, even 75%. Oh, wow. With a bit of a more, they're a bit of a different deposit type, right? They're a silver pit, but they're in more of a disseminated throughout and intrusive. So potentially a bit better metallurgy with that type of deposit. But yeah, I mean, if we saw anywhere between 50 and 65% heap leach recoveries for the silver, that would be a huge win. And we certainly have the grade, right? Like, you know, if we're silver scenario and you're getting, you know, 60% of that back, 50% of it back, that's still very valuable rock. So
absolutely. What else is going down with Selena here as far as exploration work and drilling?
Well, you know, the bottle rolls are right in front of us. That's certainly something that we're watching really closely. We'll have results out for that in the next probably month and a half. We have 10 more holes. We kind of split the program into two parts. The first part, which we just announced today, was the infill program targeting some high grade centers. And then the rest of the 10 holes, I mean, we're stepping a kilometer and a half to the north up to Sonic. That mineralization is outcropping at surface. We did two holes out to the west of the known discovery. Deep holes, about 500 meters to the west. We did holes to the south. So we're really trying to show with these remaining 10 holes that, you know, okay, there is still room to grow this really shallow part of the discovery. And hopefully we can also show that upside with the deeper high grade.
How big is the land package again here for Selena? Square kilometers?
It's 35 square kilometers. I mean, it's a big chunk of ground. Yeah. We've been, and it's really contiguous too. It's just a nice big square. So we've been able to pick up what's kind of cool is we're kind of have we not only do we have the silver at surface, but we also have potentially we control what we would see as the extension of the deeper silver lead zinc system out to the west, and we have all of it.
Continues to evolve. It's really fascinating to see what gets returned here at Selena. You know, I do want to spend a little bit of time here talking about East Carlin because, you know, in the webinar last week, this is what you began with because it really could be a potential game changer for Ridgeline. Again, this is the project that is just northeast of Nevada Gold Mines' Leeville project. What they have been drilling looks to be in the direction directly into the East Carlin project. You're I believe you've got drills on the ground. You're starting to do the pre-callers here, and drilling is going to commence shortly.
Yeah, no, we're just mobilizing the process, mobilizing rigs out. We wanted to kind of get close the book on Salina a little bit, get some news out, and then get started on Carlin East. So we'll have a core rig out there starting a little bit later this week. And yeah, we're really excited. I mean, Barrick is continuing to drill along that fault zone towards us. We've seen new pads being built from our hillside, you know, coming towards our project. So we're really, you know, this project is what I founded the entire company on, right? It was the cornerstone piece that you know, I picked up when I was still working out of my garage. So I'm really excited to be back drilling it. We've drilled two holes in 2019, of which only one was able to hit the very top of the lower plate target. And then we lost the hole there as well. We only had $400,000 in the bank, so I had to walk away. So we're fully funded now. I think it's kind of been two years coming now to get this project going. So fingers crossed we hit something pretty exciting.
Folks, I will be on the ground there in a couple weeks. I'm happy to say it. My first big site visit in more than 2 years. I'm going to go visit Chad here, and we're going to go look at all these projects. But that Carlin East project, I'm hoping there's some core to see by the time I'm on the ground there, Chad.
I'm gonna have some core for you to look at, and I think you're gonna get up on top of the hill, and you'll look down the hill at a 40 million ounce gold mine, and it definitely gets the blood up. It's a pretty exciting project to look at.
Yeah, he's got a big smile on his face, everybody.
I do.
Chad, thanks for your time. We look forward to catching up with you more as these drill results continue to come down and these metallurgical test results here from not only Salina, but also the other projects in your portfolio. So we'll leave it at that. Best of luck to you the rest of the week, and thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, bud. I appreciate it.
This is Chad Peters from Ridgeline Minerals. They trade on the TSX Venture with RDG and also on the OTCQB with RDGMF. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.